Hi, everyone. Just testing. Can you hear me all right? Terrific. All right. It's 5:01. More people are joining as we speak. So we're going to wait a couple of minutes for others to join to give them the opportunity before we start. So just bear with us and in a couple of minutes, we will start. All right, why don't we go ahead and start? We're well over 100 already in terms of attendees. Thank you all for joining this town hall for National Realty Investment Advisors. I am Louis DeLucia for those who don't know me and haven't listened to the prior town halls. I am at Ice Miller representing the Liquidation Trust in connection with this liquidation and these litigations and other related matters. On the video with me from Ice Miller, including my two partners, Allison Fiedler and Michael Ott from Ice Miller. They are here as well, and we'll be addressing not only some of the questions, but also some of the presentation. Also, of course, with us is the liquidation trustee representative, Matthew Ward. On behalf of the Liquidation Trust as Liquidation Trustee Representative, and also Rick Budd and Tommy Fierro from AIRN Management, who some of you have also interfaced with but have also presented on prior town halls for those who have attended, as well as Alvarez and Marcel, financial advisors and forensic investigators, Andrea Gonzalez and Bill Waldy. So we have basically been following an agenda consistent through all of these town halls. And if we can turn to the agenda, I don't know who's got the control of the PowerPoint. So there's the agenda. We're gonna walk through the real estate update. Rick Budd will be providing that. I, along with my colleagues, will be providing the litigation update. Michael Ott will be addressing, as well as Alvarez, some of the claims reconciliation. And in terms of an update on where we are with the claims, which is, of course, one of the factors that gets us to the formula for distributions. We'll talk about the next town halls. We'll answer some of your questions. And the liquidation trustee will provide a closing statement. So that's the standard agenda. Why don't we jump right into the real estate update for today? Rick?
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, gotcha.
Great, thank you. Thanks, Louis, and thanks everybody for joining this evening. I will go through same format as we had last time. We have the table of contents with our various assets listed. We've broken them out between completed projects, active projects, meaning in construction, and then pre-development. So we'll give you a little background on each one. We go to the next slide. This is a busy slide, but when you get a chance to read it, it will have more context. It gives the specific address of each of the investments, what type of asset it is, how many apartments. And we're really talking about all multifamily here, other than the retail aspect that we have in some of the units. And then parking spaces too, which are valuable assets within a multifamily as monthly charges are made. And then marina slips, where we only have one place for that, but we'll discuss that a little bit later. If we go to the next slide, which is the first completed project, which is the station. We've completed that. In 23, we had a lease up that was completed last year. We're now at about 92% leased. You get a period where you get people move in, out, some overlap. We had mentioned last time we've switched property managers to Graystar. It's a national concern, highly reputable, and they've just taken over in the last 2 weeks. So what we're going to see is a significant decrease in operating costs, insurance costs. That's all going to, you know, significantly inure to your benefit. And hopefully, marketing and leases will continue at the same pace. This asset, and we have our retail grocer who has been in place, has been paying their rent for the better part of, a year and a half. They are in construction. They would hope to finish that construction, be completed by the end of the year, which would be great. We're now looking at probably, in all likelihood, we'll list this asset for sale through a competitive process in 2025. Property stabilized. We think the lease or the retail tenant is far enough along that they'll have credibility along with a track record of paying the rent. So that's something to look forward to. At the next meeting, we'll probably have more information about that prospect of and the sale process. Next slide. Pardon my voice. Anyway, the completed projects, also a couple blocks away is the Grand, which we finished at the end of the year, started leasing. We're now about 40% leased. This was also transitioned to Graystar. And it's the marketing is also going to be significant there because we think we were missing one customer or one potential customer coming into one building, and maybe it wasn't right, but not being able to redirect them over to the other building for whatever reason. So anyway, so we're enthusiastic, hopefully, or not hopefully, we do believe we'll have the same operating cost savings, which, in the world of multifamily, if you save $100,000, that's $100,000, that's a lot of money. But if you sell the building, at a 5% cap rate, that's $2 million that goes to the bottom line. So not to get too deep in the weeds, but, operating costs are really significant. So that's where we are with the Grand. We'll keep moving. Next slide. Thank you. So ODR, Ocean Del Rey Estates, these are the single family homes. We had 5 of them. We sold 3. We're happy to announce we have a 4th contract on our 1068 property. That's due to close this month. The contract is approximately $4.3 million. So we're pleased with that. We had a contract before, and we had a buyer that flaked out. We're pretty confident that this one is going to see it through. And so that'll be done. That'll leave us with 1 unit left, 1070. And while we continue to market it, we're exploring the option of also renting it too. It's a, the rental market's pretty strong. The sale market has been really inconsistent, in the area for single family homes. But while we're waiting, we could, realize a significant income. So we're going to make that determination, in the next 2-3 weeks. Next slide. So active projects, the Metro, which is next door to the Grand. It's the mirror image building. And again, 156 units, separated only by the parking lot that we had participated in building prior to the commencement of the work. So we have been involved, we have been doing site work. We're happy that as we're costing out the construction, that's coming in little less than had been anticipated, which is great news. So that's going to continue to be a process as, you know, we navigate, you know, tariffs and any impacts. But right now, there's nothing that looks like it's going to be significantly detrimental. We're having numerous term sheets from lenders. We expect to select one, you know, this month to support us with the construction loan. So we're optimistic about it. The market is it's a great market, and so we're anxious to get the metro vertical after we get done the site work. Okay, next. The Water Club, as we've said before, we have hired the JLL firm to help us find financing. We have a couple term sheets now. It's a complex financing between a construction loan and then other support, whether it's a mezzanine. I won't go into all the detail, but there are a few parties working very vigorously to try to put something together that we can all support. But it's, again, the market, depending on who the lender is, some people are in the market, some people are out. Anything that looks like rates coming down brings more people in. You know, we've been saying that, you know, for, you know, a year and a half now, but it's true. So we'll keep you advised as we, you know, keep moving forward here. Next slide. We added this slide in as we were in marketing this project with JLL to the lenders. This was a site map to give a better perspective for someone who may not be intimately familiar with Philadelphia, but you can see our site in red. I think I'm colorblind, but I'm assuming that that's the different color over there. It says 1401 Columbus. Its proximity to retail, its proximity to the sports complex, where there's huge amount of expansion that's going to go in there with retail, hotel, entertainment. So we're positioned really well there. So anyway, that's just a perspective. When you get these slides, you can have a better idea by looking at it yourself. Next slide. So Legacy Harbor, right? So it's two pieces. This is the Marina Basin, which is in construction. We have a contract that with Bellingham Marine producer of marinas, builder of marinas. So they are reconstructing the 131 slips that we lost back in 2022. They expect to finish sometime in the first quarter of 26. One thing we did not have with the prior marina is fuel. So we've added that fuel stations for the docks to sell gasoline and diesel. That looks like it's going to be, you know, remarkably profitable. The way the structure works and the way the deliveries work. So that's going to also be added in. That will not add time to the construction piece. That can be done simultaneously. We have to get an additional permit to do that, but that is in process now. We've also applied for additional slips, which will take about a year. We have no plans to build them at the moment, but the value of those additional slips for larger boats even, we think could be significant. Okay, next slide. Guttenberg. So last time we spoke, we had a bit of a quandary with the town of Guttenberg, but the quandary is over. So Guttenberg has worked with us. We now have an agreed upon developers agreement between us and Guttenberg. So our It's basically reinstating the approvals for the 63 apartments that we had and then we lost due to the bankruptcy, due to the timing. So unlike the exercise that we had to go through with West New York for the metro permit, we dodged the bullet here, and Guttenberg has agreed. So we are now in the process. We did the asbestos abatement. We'll now do the demolition for the remaining structure there to have a clean site, a site that we will either sell now as is with approvals, or if the numbers pan out and we believe it merits, and then we would support building the 63 units. But we just don't know that yet, but we'll likely have that answer by the time, the next time we get together with you all. Next slide. So back to Legacy Harbor with the Upland parcel. You see the pictures there of what it'll look like. So the big news is after a year and a half, we have our final amended PUD from the city of Fort Myers. It was a significant undertaking. The density has been improved with the bonus density. We'll have up to 550 units that can be built, that don't have to be built, but it adds real value to the parcel. So we have a number of steps to go through now, but the good news is that approval is in place, and it was a great effort from the team down there and the team up here. There was a restaurant on site, Joe's Crab Shack, which was owned by Landry's. It was not a good lease. It was a below market lease that had been in place for more than 10 years. Landry's decided that they wanted to leave. So that was great news. They bought us out of the lease for an additional $200,000 so that they could vacate early. But it gives us now the flexibility with that to bring in another restaurant or incorporate it into the overall plan up above. So that's great flexibility, and we're really pleased with that. Next slide. So down in Fort Lauderdale, we have the two towers, the 429, the North Tower. Everything's approved. We're just waiting for the FAA approval because of the height. So they get backed up sometimes, and that's where they are now. But we do expect to get that approval, late summer. And then the next slide for the South Tower. Thank you. That's already approved. We have had the approvals for that. So these two towers are in the middle of the area down there. There's a number of things going on, some construction, some things on hold. We think we're in a great position, location wise, and it's a matter of being patient, and the approvals are very important. The approvals are not being given out very easily. So we think we've created significant value there over and above what was forecast back. If you go back to, we've had discussions about book values, et cetera. And if you go back to our disclosure statement and the valuations on the assets, you have a better perspective of what was anticipated. But certainly we think we'll be doing significantly better than that. And I think that's it.
Terrific. Thank you very much, Rick, for the real estate update. We're going to move now to the litigation update. So there are a number of recent filings that some of you have seen and some of you may not have. So we'll point you in the direction of where those are. But let me start with general overview. We have about 18 pending actions right now in various stages of the litigation. We recently filed a motion to extend the deadline by which we have to commence lawsuits to December 31st. That's not to delay things. So that's a common misunderstanding of what the motion is. What it is a preservation of rights so that if we find new bad acts, we can bring those claims against third parties and not have lost the opportunity to do so because of the passage of time, the statute of limitations, and we're extending it for the very reason of preserving claims against third parties, not for extending the time to bring them. So that is what the extension was, and it is until December 31st, 2025. We're also discussing statutes of limitations with various parties on one-off discussions. When we get into the litigation discussion, we can't get too deep into the facts. We would love to. We would love to share with you every ounce of the facts that we have, but and every fact and interesting recovery strategy that we have, but we can't because of the fact that, we know from concrete hearings that we've attended that adversaries and targets of the investigation attend and or listen to these meetings afterwards and cite to this what we say on the record. And if we gave strategies here, for example, there would be the risk that they would hear it, use it to their advantage, and that would damage you and our litigation recoveries. So we're not going to be able to go too deep into litigation discoveries, strategies, or the facts that we know, but hopefully some of this will be helpful in terms of giving you an oversight of where we are. So we're going to discuss the omnibus claims objection and the claim objections in the claims reconciliation section as we get to that later in the agenda. So I'm going to skip that here, but we can talk about some of the pending new actions that we just filed. There are any number of new litigations that started recently that we commenced against some very large institutions as well as some other targets, one of which is a recent adversary proceeding commenced against Bank of America. And that action is currently pending in the district, in the bankruptcy court in New Jersey. We filed it on June 7th. The adversary proceeding number is 25-01239. It's a very, very substantial complaint, well over 100 pages of allegations alone, with over 500 pages of the complaint. 13 counts are brought against Bank of America. It alleges that $232 million of suspicious activity flowed through the bank's accounts. We've asserted, meaning the complaint asserts, aiding and abetting common law fraud, aiding and abetting securities fraud, aiding and abetting breach of fiduciary duty, fraudulent transfer claims, aiding and abetting conversion. The bank is represented by Davis Polk. We have been in discovery with Bank of America for quite some time through Rule 2004 discovery in the bankruptcy process. We are certain that based upon Bank of America's historical practice in litigation, that they will likely move to dismiss as they have historically. But that complaint is available on the Omni website. And if you go under dockets, you will be able to see the, for this matter, you will see the adversary proceeding there. The same is true with the Valley Bank complaint that was commenced as well. That complaint was filed on about the same day. That's adversary proceeding number 25-01237. We have 10 counts against the bank, which in that complaint, it alleges that $265 million flow through the accounts. Approximately $40 million of that was new investor funds that flow through the accounts. These are all allegations within the complaint. The allegations include that from approximately July 2021, so this is after Salzano was arrested in March of 2021 for one of his first NRA-related crimes. They opened, and that was from July through December of 2021, they opened as many 11 new accounts and allowed $40 million of investor funds to flow through. Other banks at that time were dropping or refusing to bank with NRIA. So they too will likely move to dismiss, but we're prepared for both that as well as Bank of America's motion to dismiss. A third complaint that we filed also very recently was the complaint against an individual known as Deepit Anand. Some of you may have transacted business with him, we're not sure, but and his various 11 other corporate affiliated entities like Sapphire Property Ventures. Interestingly enough, that adversary proceeding is also on the Omni website, docket number or adversary proceeding number 25-01238. In prior depositions, as we were doing our investigation of Deepit, he took the fifth and asserted the fifth amendment to protect his testimony from criminal allegations. So that is not a good fact for him. But in any event, the complaint alleges solicitation of investors, particularly EB-5 investors. It also alleges that Anand and his corporate affiliates received over $20 million from NRIA. It has 10 counts against him, including directly securities fraud, because he was involved directly with the investors. He aided and abetted securities fraud and received fraudulent conveyances and other allegations. So these are three major litigations that were commenced. What you don't know is that in the background, there are any number of litigations that are ready to be filed, but because we shared the complaints with our adversaries, they have asked that we not make those allegations and those complaints public and that we speak to them to try to resolve things through mediation or settlement. Those include major accounting firms, major law firms, major construction companies, as well as politically situated law firms, as well as other bad actors. So there's any number of allegations. There's even more than that which has been publicly filed that has been prepared to be filed as new litigation, but is held back as we engage in current active negotiations to see if there's a path towards resolution. Obviously, we have some pending litigation that is moving forward. We're in discussions with U.S. Construction, both through mediation as well as one-off settlement discussions. But another party to that, Phil McPhillan, as well as his affiliates, are not in litigation settlement discussions with us, but are engaging in discovery and some motion practice. So we're involved with litigation continuing with USC, but we hope to resolve U.S. Construction's piece of that as soon as we can. We're continuing our litigation against the insider promoters, people like Harrington, Cartosian, and others. We are in settlement discussions with some of those folks in that litigation, which is another adversary proceeding you can see on the Omni docket site. Those settlement discussions are ongoing, but also some mediation is going to begin very shortly, as well as some actual settlements that we've reached. DMR, construction litigation against DMR, is in active mediation beginning. We also have the Media Effective. As you know, we collected just about $5 million from Media Effective. They filed a claim for that $5 million when they returned the money under what's called 502H of the bankruptcy code. And they sought to recoup that money, and we defeated that by a motion where the court subordinated Media Effective's claims to your claims, so that $5 million is now available for distribution. We have, however, appealed the bankruptcy court's ruling, which denied that Media Effective as a media company was potentially culpable under state securities fraud, and that is on appeal to the district court, and we're waiting for briefing on that, or actually it's been briefed largely. We're waiting for hearings and rulings on that. We have a continuing litigation against Van Doon, another accounting firm, as well as Whipfley. Van Doon is moving towards mediation. And then we're in litigation with the Cipolla accounting firm. They filed an answer and counterclaim, and we're in motion practice with them. We also have defensive litigation, of course, where on occasion folks related to projects such as here Gutenberg and the CMB Adams Street property, there is some defensive litigation involved, which we're working on to defend in connection with certain work on the property. There is an allegation regarding in certain trespass onto the property and environmental work that was done that they say was not permitted, et cetera. But those allegations will be litigated as a defense as opposed to an affirmative collection action by us. So next slide, maybe. As I mentioned, we are still working on any number of these litigations, working in the sense that some of these are in active discussion that are in potentially settlement discussions. Some are in investigation stage, but they continue to be sources of recovery. We, as you know, have recovered in excess of $200 million in recoveries, as reflected on the statements filed with the bankruptcy court, which are available on Omni and elsewhere. And that is the source of this litigation. We hope that the new litigations that we've begun will also generate material and substantial recoveries. Next slide, Mike. As I mentioned, these are all active mediations. Mona Shaw continues, but we believe we are at settlement with Mona Shaw and her, that for those who may not recall, Mona Shaw and her law firm and others were engaged in working with EB-5 investors. We believe that we may be able to complete that settlement in very short order. I've already discussed U.S. construction. That settlement, by the way, would result in cash coming into the trust for distribution to investors, as well as the resolution of certain claims and the conversion of some non-contributing investors to contributing investors, which helps us in terms of freeing up cash for distribution. As I mentioned, we already have DMR and other parties in both mediations as well as discussions. Next slide, Mike.
That's the last slide on the litigation update before we talk about the claims reconciliation process.
All right, let's jump into that.
Yep. So as you're aware, we have filed a number of different omnibus claim objections. We're up to the 7th omnibus claim objection. The last two, the 6th and the 7th, have been the most comprehensive and substantive claim objections. Through them, so far, we've been able to eliminate around $35 million worth of claims. In the last, about $30 million in the second, in the 6th omnibus claim objection, and about $5 million in the 7th omnibus claim objection. We are still negotiating with respect to around 11 or so claims or groups of claims from the 6th and 7th omnibus claim objection that are around $10 million approximately that we believe we will reduce significantly, if not completely. So we're in the process of doing that. There are also a number of other parties we have not yet filed proofs of claim against, claim objections against, because we are in negotiations with them, or we are actively in discussions with them to reduce their claim without having to go to the effort and the expense of doing an omnibus claim objection with respect to their claims. All told, obviously, with respect to any of these claim objections to senior claims, these are all claims that have to be paid out in full before investors receive anything. So we have reserved funds sufficient to pay all the claims that are still currently disputed but not yet allowed or disallowed in cash. And as claims are disallowed or paid, that'll obviously free up cash that can then be used towards making a distribution, an additional distribution and future distributions. The next hearing on the 7th omnibus claim objection, there's one claim being heard on Tuesday next week, and then the next hearing is going to be June 24th. The hope is to have several of them, if not most of them, resolved by that by June 24th, which should eliminate, hopefully, part of that $10 million is still outstanding. The next a question that we've also received a lot is about restitution claims through the Department of Justice. I know that the Department of Justice, if you filed a victim statement in the Salzano, or I don't know if Scutaro has been accepting them yet, but in the Salzano and Scutaro cases, you've probably received emails from Shirley Stryker, who's the victim witness program manager for the New Jersey U.S. Attorney's Office and the Department of Justice. Those restitution claims are separate from the bankruptcy claims. To the extent that the federal government obtains any restitution payments from the defendants, you'll be paid out through that. That has nothing to do with our case. And we don't really know much about other than what's publicly filed, we don't have any other insight really into the status of those criminal proceedings. If you have questions with respect to the criminal proceedings or the restitution claims, please direct your questions to Shirley Stryker. And this is her information here. We also had a number of tax questions. We get these tax questions basically at every town hall. I'm going to let Tommy take the lead here in answering, in responding to these questions and, you know, giving you the information you ask for. Tommy, you're muted, I believe.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Hi, everyone. So effective August 2023, the tax documents you receive will now be grantor letters because the entity that your interest is held in is a trust as opposed to a partnership, which issues K-1s. Those grantor letters for 2024 will be available in early September 2025. We have had a number of inquiries and requests for those of you who have your own, you know, corporations or partnerships that you've invested in, saying that, you know, your deadline to file is in September and you need the documents sooner. We've already kind of touched base with our tax firm, letting them know that we need to, you know, circulate the documents a little bit earlier this year. So that's something that we intend to do. When you do receive those documents, please refer to page 2 of the grantor letter. That's going to give you, you know, the instructions on, you know, where the tax information should be entered. It's a very simple and straightforward form. There's just only a couple of lines, but when you receive it, you should share and discuss that with your personal tax advisors. Also in 2025, you'll be receiving the 2021 and 2022 AARs. A lot of you have been sending emails referring to them as, you know, amended K-1s or something along those lines. Just so everyone knows and to be clear, those documents are going to be, they're not going to trigger any prior year amendments. You will receive those documents in 2025, which means that they'll be due with your due in 2026 with the filing of your 2025 tax returns. And just so everyone has a little bit of a better understanding, those documents are basically going to allow you to go back historically and reconcile the, you know, ending and beginning balances on all of the prior year tax documents that you have received. Anything beyond that, whether it's questions or document requests, feel free to contact us at any time by emailing info@nria.net. That's all on the tax info. Thanks, guys.
That leads into the investor questions.
All right. So we have questions that were submitted through the portal, and we have questions on the side. Some of them on the side we've been trying to answer as we go through and when we're not speaking, but we can start with some of the questions that came through the portal initially. One of the questions is status of lawsuits, when we will get our money back. The status of lawsuits, we just gave you a very quick overview of where those lawsuits stand, with the recognition that, of course, we can't get more granular because of the potential for disclosure of sensitive litigation strategies. But in terms of when you will get your money back, there's already been one distribution, and I will turn it now very briefly, if okay with you, Matthew, to the representative of the liquidation trustee to talk about prospective distributions.
Sure. Can you guys hear me okay?
You're a little bit muffled, but yeah.
How about I muddle my way through it? Is that okay? Can you hear it okay?
Not that well. A little bit muffled.
To go on and off.
We can come back. I can come back to that if you'd like, right, Matthew? We'll come back to it while you're working on that. There are a number of repetitive questions regarding when the next distribution. Go ahead, Matthew.
Is that better?
Not really. Not that much better. No.
Is that better?
There you go. That works.
Okay. You guys can hear me now. Sorry yes. about that.
That's all right.
Too much technology. Yeah, we have been successful, as the team has noted with respect to the litigation that we have commenced and the real estate that we have been selling, as well as reducing claims. And so we are prepared at this point to make a distribution. We plan to make a 5% distribution at this time. And, you know, please understand that distributions take time to get out the door. We have a couple thousand investors that we need to send the distribution to. And so it does take up to a few weeks to get a distribution out the door, but that money should be in your pockets by early July. And, you know, with the litigation, we hope the first distribution was made primarily from litigation results. And with the new lawsuits that have been filed, as well as mediation, we have a number of mediation matters that we're going to this summer. And we hope from the success of that, we can repeat the results of the prior litigation that brought in millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in proceeds. And that also could be distributed. But, you know, all of this takes time. Same with real estate. It takes a lot of time to develop real estate. Our claims, we talked about claims reconciliation. Prior to the last town hall, we did file a large batch of claims objections, and those have been largely disposed of now by the court, as we have requested. There still are a handful of large claims that are out there against. These are claims against us, which are senior to investor claims, and so they do have to be reserved for. But as those claims also get reduced and whittled down, that will also free money up to go to investors. So those are the three kind of buckets of funds that will be available to investors over time. But right now, with cash on hand minus the reserves that we're holding, we are in a position to make a 5% distribution. So we will get that out the door promptly.
Thank you, Matthew. Thank you very much. Liquidation trust finances. Would you let us know the ballpark of revenue from litigation property sales for January to May 2025? That should be reflected on the monthly statements on the and the other statements, quarterly reports, and other reports filed on the Omni website, as well as the docket. Those numbers are available and broken out by litigation, or they should say recoveries, as well as property sales for that period. So take a look there. If you need that link, just email us and we'll send you the link for those reports.
Just to add to that point, specifically, if you go to the Omni website, which is where you presumably came to register for this town hall, there's a webpage called Investor Reports, which is updated to reflect all the reports that we file. We are currently filing quarterly reports plus monthly reports. The quarterly reports and the monthly reports are effectively the same form, and Exhibit D to the quarterly report lists the real estate sales during the period covered by the report in each report. So you can find that there. Exhibit A is a cash flow statement, which shows the cash coming in and out of the trust during that period. Exhibit B is a balance statement, a balance sheet, which shows the the assets and liabilities, and thereabout. There are a few other exhibits, but I'll let you you can see those when you get to it.
All right. Thank you. What is the total monthly revenue for all of the properties? I don't know if you have that, Rick, in terms of monthly revenue.
Well, that's also included in the reports.
In the reports, okay.
We only get revenue from apartments, right? So we have two active completed buildings right now, but that information can be found in there.
Thank you. Is there a way you can estimate an amount of dollars we have locked up in real estate? I think that's your real estate report you just walked through in terms of that, and it's also on the reports, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I think we just walked through the taxes questions, did we not? Do we need to file any tax forms 2024? We walked through the tax questions, right?
The tax questions should have been answered.
Okay. Litigation. We keep seeing motions from the liquidation trustee requesting extensions to the deadline to file causes of action. Why? I just answered that, which is for not for delay, but for preservation of rights, and it's done customarily in all these cases for purposes of not losing the statute of limitations. As time goes on, things expire that you can bring as causes of action. We want to preserve those causes of action. So by extending it, it's not just extending the time we can do it, it's preserving, if you look at those orders, all the tolling or all of the rights of third parties to say, ah, time has passed, you can't sue me, are told. And therefore, we can preserve those claims and go after them. That's the idea. Criminal proceedings and restitution. During the last town hall, there was mention of a contact person at the Department of Justice. There's the person again on the screen. Shirley is the person, and at the DOJ. Is there an advantage, disadvantage to filing with the DOJ? Will you sue sales personnel who took dollars in January 2022 after they knew about the fraud? There's no disadvantage to filing with the DOJ, and it doesn't impact what you're doing or getting recoveries here. So if you have an interest in being recovering in the event the Department of Justice ever recovers on restitution claims or other claims, then you should feel free to file that claim. We are suing the sales personnel, as I mentioned, Harrington, Cartosian, Fallis, and others are all being sued in an action, and we are discussing claims against them with their attorneys, and those actions are also available in Omni. Take a look at them. There's detailed allegations against all of them, including the amounts they sold and who they sold it to, etc. It's all there. Has Arthur Scuturo begun carrying out this sentence, his sentence? We're not sure. We don't think so. He was sentenced to 46 months with 3 years thereafter of supervised release. He's due to report on June 20th for his sentence. And at the sentencing, he was also charged with restitution of $507,431,771. So that restitution is also in place against Scuturo, should he ever come into any type of money.
Yeah, keep in mind that just because a restitution award was entered in the amount of $507 million doesn't mean that he has anywhere near that amount to pay it.
Correct. Correct. Those are all the questions that came in through the portal. Let's go through the questions that we haven't answered on the side here during this call, if we can see some. Most of these we've answered as much as we can. In terms of the question regarding Hain Capital, we'll get back to you. Apologies for not getting back to you on some of your questions. I know that you've attempted to reach us on a couple of questions. We'll get back to you on those. Where will the real estate update? I've already answered that one. Can you provide? Oh, let me answer some of the questions for you. Where will the real estate update be posted? We are updating the investor town hall page to add the next 4 town halls. When we do that, we will post the presentation from this town hall, including the real estate update. And by the way, you know, the town halls are still every 2 months, even though notwithstanding the fact that the liquidation trust agreement may provide for later going to quarterly, we're going to continue providing these updates more frequently than perhaps the liquidation trust agreement may provide. Can you provide an update on the current third party claims and expected claims going forward? I think third party claims you mean are claims against the bad actors. Those claims are the litigations we discussed, and I think those claims are pending, as I mentioned. Okay. First question, we've been told that there are limited funds. I've already answered that question. On behalf of NRI clients, I think the question there was rephrased as whether or not how many professionals are representing the NRI entities and the trust. There are a number of professionals representing the trust for various reasons. You've heard all the real estate projects going on. So there, correct me if I'm wrong, Matthew and Rick and Tommy, there are professionals helping in Florida, in Pennsylvania, in other jurisdictions for the real estate transactional work that's needed. So all that goes into the legal expense, as well as litigation, of course, trust administration. So there's Ice Miller, there's the other law firms I talked about. There are law firms that have done some of the litigation in New York regarding construction litigation. So and getting rid of some claims. So there's a number of law firms. They're all on the, and to answer your question, they're on the, you can find them at various stages on the Omni website and or the PACER for, you know, actual court docket.
Yeah, as well as financial advisors, taxing accountants, professional investigators, including former FBI agents, New Jersey Bureau of Securities agents. All of those are working for us.
Right. Okay.
There's a question from residents of the Grand who have questions about the building amenities. I see that Tommy answered that. Please email info@nria.net for questions so that we can contact the property manager. But I don't think this is the forum really to answer questions about building amenities at the Grand. We do want to respond to you, but just not on this town hall specifically.
Right. And we've answered the questions verbally about the tax questions. Those have been answered verbally.
Just in regard to transferring claims, I know, Louis, you did mention that. Just keep in mind that claims transfers are prohibited under the plan and the liquidation trust agreement. So the trust cannot recognize any claim transfers to third parties.
Yeah, it's prohibited under the plan, but they had a specific question, so we would address that along with them. I'm trying to move through these, and it's hard to read when they're very small on the side.
Can you provide an update on the current third-party claims and expected claims going forward?
I just answered that about the litigation. I think that's what that's referring to. If we're not correct, please let us know, John.
Answered. If you have an address change, there's an Omni has an address that you can email to. If you're welcome to email us as well, and we will make sure that Omni gets it and records it correctly. But definitely go through Omni. Definitely include Omni on that email.
And one question is, when do you plan to sell completed projects? I don't know if you want to address that, Rick.
Sure. I think if you look at completed projects, we have the single family homes in Florida, which we have completed and sold. Earlier on, we had completed units in Philadelphia, which we sold. The station, which is completed, we discussed that earlier. The likelihood is that will be listed for sale this year. We'll put together a process. If you look at an asset like the Grand, we're 40% leased. So with multifamily assets, you really want to be leased up to stabilization, which is really the term, because then an investor, a buyer, can really assess the history, the operating costs, and what the revenue stream looks like. So it's a timing issue, but we're not looking to complete any projects and hold them for an extended period of time beyond what we think we can bring in terms of optimizing value.
Okay. How much is owed to investors if they were paid back 100%? That was also answered in the Q&A, but just so everyone hasn't seen it, the total net investor claims is approximately $505 million. And of course, you know, that is the target of obviously trying to get as much as we can in terms of return to investors.
So it's $505 million was the original amount of the allowed, roughly the contributing investor claims. We have the first distribution paid 10% of that, so $50 million. The next 5% distribution will be another $25 million. So we'll have had about $75 million of distributions after we make the next distribution, reducing that to around, $430 million outstanding.
Right. We've answered the question about the Omni reports there, and the website was given there on the link. There's a question, please increase the 5%, not question, these are statements. So please increase the 5% to at least 15% minimum. Obviously, that was answered by the trustee. Trustee representative. Everything's being done possible to maximize those returns, and as soon as they can get more returns, that will be done.
Yeah, I just want to make clear, I mean, for the record, the 5% distribution is by no means the final distribution in this case. I don't know if there's any perception that that's the case. There will be more distributions throughout the case, multiple more distributions throughout the case. And as money is freed up in the trust, net of reserves, it will be distributed. So it's the 5% is what we have presently, but there will be more distributions to come.
Yeah, we've heard the request for substantial distributions, and I think we're making one now, I believe, rather than wait to make a larger one later. But that doesn't mean we won't make another smaller one later once additional funds free up.
Right. Aaron sued Bank of America. Can we expect that to cover any shortfall from liquidation? Obviously, we don't know what will come out of that litigation. Litigation is inherently uncertain. We obviously think that we have strong, viable claims, and they are substantial claims. What happened, as I indicated, I'm not going to give anything on this conversation that would give ammo or any advantage to an adversary, but I can say that we would hope that it would be a substantial recovery for the trust. I don't know what the amount of that recovery would be, but the complaint speaks for itself as to the damages we would seek.
Yeah, I mean, just to that point, I mean, understand, if we were to tell you that the Bank of America complaint will settle for $10 million, of course, on this, there's people that are affiliated with Bank of America where that will go right back to them. If we say it could settle for $100 million, likewise. If we say it could settle for $500 million, likewise. So whatever we say on here, you can be assured we'll go right back to Bank of America. So we're not going to predict or estimate what that action would settle for, whether through a settlement or through trial. We're prepared to litigate this all the way if we have to, and we're prepared to settle for a reasonable amount. But, you know, we're not going to comment on the specific amounts on a form with that can be accessed publicly through the Omni website. It's just not appropriate.
Right. How much we paid legal fees in 2024 and 2023? That too is on the reports on Omni, and are available for, you know, it states it right there. The 2023 period, by the way, includes the bankruptcy conclusion, which confirmed in 2023. So there's fees to the committee, as well as debtors counsel, as well as the attorneys for the board that supervised the debtor and others. So that question is not possible to answer right now. It includes the analysis of fees not included with the trust. So we'd be happy to address that, but that is not answerable, you know, in a off the cuff type answer. So that's been answered. Can you give us a rough estimate of money from real estate and money from litigation? That too is specifically broken down in those reports, as you heard earlier, in well in excess of $200+ million in terms of litigation recoveries. But again, litigation recoveries are two ways. Okay, I want to be very clear on this. I was going to mention it earlier, but I didn't. And it's been successful so far in multiple ways. One is the straight litigation, like you saw on this multiple 100-page complaint against Bank of America. That's a straight allegation against them for the affirmative recovery of cash from them. The same is true with Deepin Anon. The same is true with Valley Bank. The same is true with many of the other litigations we commenced. Other litigations like the S3 litigation or the TORAC litigation, all of which have been commenced and litigated, have resulted in reductions of their secured claims or claims against us. And we've also successfully settled claims where claimants on the other side or litigations where the other side has waived their unsecured claims. All claims that come ahead of you and senior to you before you can get paid on your investor claims. So what those litigations have done, you won't see cash necessarily coming in, but substantial cash has been value has come in through litigation that has reduced secured claims, reduced unsecured claims, and therefore increased your cash available for distribution. So that has happened through litigation as well. Real estate is reflected in terms of sales on the reports as well. And of course, you know, some of the major projects that are out there are going to be sold will generate substantial, you know, revenue on the sale of those real estate in the future. Next question. How much cash do we currently have in the bank? Are we getting any interest on it? That I think, you know, I don't know, it's on the reports as well, but in terms of the interest, obviously, I think we are. But Tommy or Rick, you want to address that more specifically?
Yeah, we earn most of our cash, substantial amount, is invested in treasury bills, 30 and 60 day, and we're earning approximately 4.25% on almost all of our money.
Right. Okay. Let's see. There was talk about investigating converting the liquidation trust into a different entity that can continue to exist such that the income may continue long enough to allow for higher realized fund recovery instead of liquidation. Have you started to look into this? This being driven by the way successful property development and property perspectives once they won, I'm just reading it as written, once they won, undeveloped ones are.
I can take that question. I might be misinterpreting the question. And if so, you know, the investor can let me know. But I think what the investor is asking is right now we're in a liquidation trust as a result of the bankruptcy. We're going to take the properties that we have, some of which are raw pieces of dirt. And yes, we are going to develop them and we're going to sell them and we're going to sue people and get money in and distribute that. And then call it a day. And I think the question is basically asking, the team is doing a good job, and can we continue that going forward? So rather than do the liquidation and call it a day, can we continue and buy other properties and do more developments going forward for the benefit of investors? I suppose we can talk about that among the people on the call. That is not currently the intent. There may be restrictions regarding the plan that was confirmed by the bankruptcy court as well. So that is not presently the intent. The intent is to take the properties that we have, develop them, sue the people we're suing, and others that we have claims against, and then wrap up the trust.
All right, thank
you. We appreciate the kind words and the encouragement.
All right, so.
Any update on Gravato's arrest?
Go ahead.
I have not seen any update on Gravato's arrest. I believe he's still in the Philippines on the lam. I don't know if anyone else.
Yeah, we were able to serve him civilly. Could be located, but we don't do arrests, right? So the federal government has to work with the government of Philippines in order to coordinate the arrests under various treaties. I don't know what they've done. I don't know in the sense that they haven't informed us what they've done. But, you know, we have been able to serve him and we have judgments against him. So civilly, we're doing what we can. But we don't know about the arrest from by the government. But I think we answered the question about when will the next distribution be beyond the 5% and what will it look like? We're obviously working on that. And the answer is that it'll take an enormous amount of work to get there. And we're working gradually towards increasing those distributions.
The question of how many properties sold and how many remain to be sold, that is in the real estate presentation that we gave earlier, which we will be posting on the Omni website next to where the recording of this town hall will be and has been for the previous ones.
Right. I used a self-directed trust, Medicine Trust, to facilitate my investment of 401k funds. They still represent my investment at the original investment. They require proof that money is gone and there is no account value. Who can assist in providing a valuation of this investment? Mike, you answered that. Go ahead.
I have had, and there are investors on this call who can attest to this, multiple calls with Madison Trust where they have agreed that they will revalue the account, the investment at the 2022 K-1 ending balance, which is in most cases significantly less than the original amount. It's probably somewhere like between 20 and 40% for different investors. They have repeatedly affirmed that they will do this, and then they don't do it. If they are asking for a valuation and they won't do it without a valuation, please email me and I will remind them that they have agreed in writing to revalue at the 2022 K1 ending balance. And I will CC Jordan Koenig at Madison Trust, who was the individual who I've dealt with on this multiple times. I will say that I do not believe that any of the individual email addresses at Madison Trust actually go to the individual. I think that is basically blocked from the outside, from what I can tell. The only email you can send to basically is the main line Madison Trust email address. But email me and I will respond to remind them that they should be revaluing at the 2022 K1 value.
All right. When will the 5% be distributed? My internet was not down. The answer is we're anticipating early July. There's a lot to do in terms of getting those distributions out the door. So that's the goal. If you get more than 505 million, will we get more back? Obviously, we would love to be able to address that problem. And if we do, we would hope to get as much possibly returned to investors as possible. If there's a way of getting you more than the principal, we would love to find a way. But we will address that when and if we get to those recoveries. What will be the asking price for the station ballpark? I don't know if we have that, Rick.
Yeah, no, we're not prepared to broadcast that yet. Like I say, we're still going through the process of the transition with the property manager, potentially selecting brokers, et cetera, and then we'll come up with a valuation.
Right, and the same is true with respect to the estimate of money you can expect from litigation. I appreciate that you recognize that it is very preliminary, but we do not want to give a suggestion to potential adversaries listening in what the recoveries we anticipate would be, because they would then quantify and deal with their response accordingly. We don't want to do that on this public forum. What about RICO law threefold clawback? We do have a RICO claim against U.S. construction and other parties. Where appropriate, we will bring it. We have not found any number of circumstances where it's appropriate yet in terms of parties who were involved and or litigating parties that would be supported factually for the RICO claims. But it is not a claim we ignore in any way. We consider it at every turn. Where are we? Did that one?
So, Jonah, I see you've asked multiple times about your address range. Just email me and I'll make sure that it gets to Omni.
Okay. The questions keep moving. I apologize because people must be answering. I think those are all the questions. What is the significance of 505 million? Is that the total amount? Yes, that's the estimated total amount of investor claims, net investor claims.
Yeah, specifically, that's the total amount of cash that was invested, actual cash that was invested in the debtors, minus the actual amount of cash that was distributed out before the bankruptcy case was filed. As I believe most of you are likely contributing investors, as you know, the formula was cash in, cash out. So it doesn't account for any sort of roll-up bonuses or fake phantom profits that were given to investors as equity, as principal investments. It's just hard cash in minus hard cash out, or cash equivalents. If somebody donated like a real piece of real estate, we're working to find an appropriate value for the real estate to value that property because they did actually give property for it, just not dollars. So that's what the 505 is.
Right. How much debt, if any, is there on the station?
32 million.
Thank you. What was the answer? Sorry, what was the answer? It keeps moving because of answers or whatever was going on.
Questions.
Sorry, what was the answer to how many properties sold and remaining? I think you walked through your property presentation on that, right, Rick? And that should be.
Yeah. That'll be reflected in the real estate.
Right. And that'll be on the Omni website as well. When will we receive the K-1 for 2024? I think that was also answered on the tax questions regarding tax issues in 2024.
But that'll be, we're aiming for early September this time, early September of this year. The deadline for the extended deadline for filing the tax return for the trust is September 15th. But we understand that all legal entities have to file by September 15th. So we're working with Omni to try and get it out before then so that there's time to get the grantor letter before corporate entities have to file their tax returns on the extended date. So that's our current goal.
All right. And we have town hall scheduled for the next one's in August, right?
Hold on one second.
They're on the Omni website.
So we'll be updating the Omni website and sending out a notice with the next four town halls. We're going to continue on every other month on the second Wednesday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern, as we have been basically since we represented the committee, and we're doing that with the committee. So we're just going to continue the same cadence of these town halls. And we will have the links up soon on the Omni website. And as soon as they're up, we will send out a notice on the Omni website.
All right. So thank you very much, Liquidation Trustees. Closing statement is the final agenda item before we adjourn.
Yeah, I think I've kind of given my closing statement as, as we have gone on throughout the meeting. But I mean, again, there still are a number of litigations, including new litigation matters that we've commenced. And we hope that we can repeat some of the successes from prior ones with respect to those. And we have mediations going. We have real estate sales, including the station. That one's likely to be put up for sale in the near future. So a lot of balls in the air, but we are making progress here, and we will continue to do it. We'll get the distribution out the door here in the next few weeks, and onward and upward.
Thank you, Matthew. Thank you, everyone, for joining. We'll speak to you again on the next town hall. Thank you.